And a very good morning to you, and touching base with Brooks Spector. Why am I chatting to Brooks Spector? Well, first of all, he is a former diplomat and also the Daily Maverick associate editor. And there was a story in Business Tech recently, and the headline says, the U.S. labels South Africa a no-go area. The United States Department of State has strongly recommended that U.S. citizens reconsider all travel abroad as it updates the travel advisories for a number of countries, including South Africa. And I think that's key, of course. It's not just South Africa. It's the other countries that pose a bit of a risk. So, Brooks Spector, good morning.
Good morning, Kino. I think the warning was too late for me. I'm already here.
But you didn't arrive 5 minutes ago, Brooks.
That's true. No, I arrived before some people listening were born, off and on, anyway. No, I mean, you're quite right to point out that it isn't an arrow directly at the heart of South Africa. But the other key word in that was, or two words, strongly recommends. There's no, the State Department, generally speaking, has no authority to prevent you from traveling to country A or B, with possible exceptions historically, places like North Vietnam or North Korea. And even there, people do go. But what this is a recognition, of course, that the COVID pandemic virus is not under control really anywhere. And as a result of that, because this country is sadly really slow off the starting blocks in inoculating its population, it poses that much more of a risk to travelers. And then, of course, there were the usual precautionaries about pillage and murder and carjackings and, you know, housebreakings and violent crime and all the rest of it.
Did they mention that as well?
It's in there somewhere. but I don't think they put pillaging, but I mean, you know, but that's been standard wordage for some years, that you should assume caution in your daily efforts because of the high crime rate and violence against persons and what have you. Probably should put in the high traffic accident rate too, but that's a different problem, isn't it? I'm sorry, I'm slightly irreverent this morning. I'm not quite sure.
Please,
why.
No. Oh, please go ahead. I've got no problem with irreverence. What the heck?
Yeah, it's Friday. Why not? Weekend coming up.
But it's also, our response to this COVID-19 pandemic, how would you, if someone in the United States asked you, or anywhere for that matter, said, Brooks, what's your take on South Africa and how they're dealing with this pandemic? What would you say to them?
I would have said a couple of things. I would have said right at the beginning, they were actually, the country was actually very proactive, and there was good research being done, and serious skilled researchers were providing the right kinds of data. They were involved in international vaccine trials. And government officials fairly quickly said all the right things. And, of course, the lockdown meant that neither you nor I ever got to see a movie again, let alone have a glass of wine. but somewhere along the way, they've lost focus. And the vaccine part of the process, the actual inoculating citizens at large, that began to fall into the abyss. Now, you know, where healthcare workers are getting vaccines and injections, and that's fine. But the rest of us are waiting at least until, what is it, May now, before the first bunch of people get this. And if you believe the more cynical among us, everybody will be vaccinated in 9 years.
Word. Yeah, I think you actually I think you're very hopeful there, Brooks. Nine years is a very short time frame at the rate we're going at the moment. But although if you chat to Dr. Keith Clutot, who's the head of health in the Western Cape, he'll tell you, no, listen, as soon as those arrive, we can do a good couple of thousand a day, and it isn't necessarily all that bad. But we'll see. We'll see. I must tell you, I'm just very happy that we currently don't have a surge. We were expecting one. It's not happening. I don't know why, because some people would argue that maybe we have something close to herd immunity because maybe we didn't test enough.
Well, I mean, there's also the qualifier that we're coming out of the summer when more people were outdoors and windows are open and air is circulating and people are not cloistered, huddle around fires or electric heaters or indoors in the dark evening hours. And historically, the surges have come in the Northern Hemisphere either after major holiday periods for obvious reasons, and in the colder months when people are, naturally enough, inside and coughing and wheezing all over each other. We're about to face that now, aren't we? We're now into two-blanket weather in the evening for some people.
Yes.
And there are some people who argue, along with what you were just saying, that the number here has actually been seriously undercounted because at the early stages of it, it wasn't being recorded as a direct cause of death.
Yes.
So the numbers themselves don't have the kind of concrete quality to them that one might like. I have to register my wife and myself for the vaccine. I was waiting until the system was stable enough that when you typed your data in, it didn't crash.
What do you mean you got to register yourself? You have to be 60 and over before you do that, man.
I'm 71.
What?
Yep.
You don't look a day older than 49.
Should see me at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Is that before makeup?
Yeah, before I comb my teeth and brush my hair. I was, since the vaccines aren't available yet anyway, I didn't think there was any harm in waiting a few days to see whether or not the platform was going to be stable enough to take all the names and data that come in and then get back to you with the SNS. But friends of mine have said, no, they were successful, and they have their confirmation message that they have indeed been registered, but there's no vaccine. So my normal routine is to check with all my doctors and to check with the pharmacy I use and say, have you got any idea if you're going to be giving the vaccines? And if so, can I squeeze myself into your queue? And they all look at me and they nod their heads and said, we hope, we wish, we look forward to it, but no progress. But go back to that travel advisory again. There's one other thing I wanted to mention with regard to that. In South Africa, I think people had gotten used to the idea that the country was the real bloom on the rose internationally, and that people preferentially appreciated, were warm to, and loved the country. Mm. And this really is an indication that South Africa is just one more place, and that investors and foreign business people who read these advisories more carefully than you or I might, they will now think twice or thrice about what their plans might be because of advisories like that. And so it does behoove the government to take that kind of warning seriously.
Absolutely.
And to demonstrate that it is dealing with caution A or B or C or D or whatever it might be. And that partly is a problem that doesn't appear to have been addressed yet. So, I mean, it's early days, but hopefully they will respond in a way which doesn't just resort with a snarl and a scream, but with we're taking the following steps, we understand, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. Well, Brooks Spector there, former diplomat and Daily Maverick associate editor.